And Jimmy, do you want to start
Sure. Good evening, Boulder. My name is Jim Catmull. I'm running for mayor position, and since my family moved here in 1979, I've went to Boulder Elementary School. I graduated high school in Estill Lanning. Been on the fire department since I was 16 years old. As soon as I graduated May of 95 from high school, joined the military in June of 95, spent a year and a half in Bosnia. Came back home and got bored and looking to do the best interest I can. Kind of one of the things I'd like to get done is for the county is our roads. That's one of the biggest issues I think that we have in our town. And yeah, I think I have a strong sense of community spirit. Definitely love our Boulder town. I really don't want to see it change for the worse. Other than that, yeah. Let me know if you have any questions.
Thanks, Jim. And Judy Drain, do you want to take a couple minutes?
Sure. My name is Judy Drain. I've lived here 14 years. I came out from, we lived in Magna to begin with, and I was born and raised in Salt Lake. The only college I went to was the College of Hard Knocks, and I think we learned a lot through that college, but through the years, I'm 77. I love this town. I don't think you can ever be too old to serve and serve your community. I really wish I'd started younger, but hindsight's 20/20, so much for that. I am on the Garfield Planning Commission and the Town Council right now. And I really love this community. I'm totally amazed every time I go anywhere around here. We moved down here, like I said, 14 years ago, and Brenda and Randy were putting the roof on their restaurant when we moved down here, or when we came down for the first time, and just fell in love with it. And I'm proud to be part of this community. It is a great community. I'm totally amazed at the diversity, but how much people come together for this community. So I'm up to the challenge. Hopefully I don't plan to know everything, but the main things that I really am concerned about with this town that I would like to focus on is our emergency services, for one. And we definitely need a tower. We've got to be able to do whatever it takes when we do have an emergency. And after reading the emergency, the County Wildfire Preparedness Plan, along with all the others, it really gives you a feel for what you're up against and what you're going to need to do. So I know that there is a big learning curve with this, but I don't mind whatsoever. I figure that I might have a little wisdom on Jimmy only because of my age. He's got a lot more energy and he's been in this community, born and raised here. But we both love it and we will support each other. I know that no matter what happens. The other issue that I really think needs to be addressed is the housing. With the advertisement of the national parks and the businesses, somehow we have got to be able to meet that need. And I don't have the answer, but I've always figured three heads are better than one, as long as it's not on the same person, that is. Anyway, I think that's about it. Be glad to take your questions also.
Great. Thank you, Judy. Okay, let's turn to the town council. And hold on just a sec. Steve, Steve Johnson isn't quite in yet, so we will we'll take it slowly here, but we may as well get started so that we can field people's questions. So Andy, John, and Gladys are on. Gladys, would you like to start out?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have a big speech for you. Everybody knows me. I've been there forever. I can't even remember how long. We all know I'm rather conservative. I guess I see my position as looking out for the health, safety, and welfare of the community. Also, I like people to know what the rules are, and hopefully they will govern themselves so we don't have to supervise everything. But mostly I'm there to see that, help us to follow the rules we've already made, and hopefully you give me your opinions about the guidance you want me to represent in making more rules. I feel like the less fewer rules you have to obey, the better off you are, but sometimes people have to have some rules to help govern them. So that's all I have to say. I'm just ready for your questions.
Okay. Thank you, Gladys. John, would you like to say yours?
Okay. My name is John Barrett, running for town council. I live in the greenhouse between Hillsland Hollows and Boulder Creek. I first visited this area in the 1970s, and I bought my property in 97 and have been living here full-time for the last 2 years. I'm running because I love Boulder, and I believe I can make a positive contribution to the town. My platform is simple. Listen to concerns and respect everyone's values. Make sure that the town business is well managed, and make Boulder friendlier to working age families and local businesses. I am retired, and my most relevant experience was 9 years on the Utah Air Quality Board. I was the presiding officer on both regulatory and enforcement hearings, and I was regarded by both environmental groups and business representatives as being fair in applying the rules. I worked as a project engineer in industry and managed research programs at the University of Utah. I know how to get work done on time and on budget. If I'm elected, whatever town departments are assigned to me will be managed well. We all love Boulder as it is, but change is happening all around us. Boulder is a great place for children to grow up, but that means their parents need housing and employment. I'm concerned that the town's current path is for open space and agricultural land to be cut up into 5-acre lots and for affordable existing houses to be bought up by second homeowners and investors. Firstly, I'd prefer to see a thriving elementary school, a diverse population with a mix of ages, and successful local businesses. To achieve the community we want, we need to listen to each other and work together. Again, my name is John Barrett, and I'd appreciate your vote.
Thank you, John. And Andy, do you want to unmute yourself and give us your bit?
Yeah, hi guys, this is Andy here. Pretty new to Boulder. This is my third year here in town. We've been really fortunate to come to Boulder for good work that we enjoy, and we found a home here and we really like it. We're trying to put roots down in this town, and I'd like to be involved in any way that can be helpful. You know, just for me, I agree with John. We've got a problem with working families having a hard time to be here. I find myself in that box, and I have a heck of a lot of great support that I'm grateful for, and I'm fairly unusual in that aspect. A lot of the folks that I know in my age group or folks with young families are really, really struggling, and I think anything that we can do as a town to come together and support those people is huge, and it's we've got to address the fact that it's out of reach already. You know, property can't be purchased by regular working families, and I think that there are solutions to be found. It's going to take some hard work, but we should look for ways to do that. I am a centrist in a big way, and I think that's an asset for our town. I think every small town everywhere and our politics generally are pulling us farther apart. We got people way out on the left and people way out on the right, and a voice in the middle is always good. And I've got a lot of friends on both sides and both sides of a lot of issues, and I listen well, and I'd like to be a voice for reason and middle ground. So look forward to seeing how this plays out.
Thank you, Andy. Oh, Steve and Marion are just joining. I'll give them a couple seconds to click in here. It's kind of unfair to him. He's been running and he's going to have to start talking immediately. Let's see. Okay, Steve, are you, can you unmute yourself? And you're actually right on time to give your intro speech to the, about town council and running for town council. Have you found the little mute button in the corner of your screen? Can't hear you. You're muted still. While Steve is finding his mute button, let me just say for the people who've joined since the very beginning that we're doing the same format with the introductory spiel from everybody. Looks like he's going for technical assistance. and then if you can raise your hand if you'd like to do that to ask a question, or use the chat that's down at the bottom of your screen right in the middle. It says chat. Click on that and it opens up the little box. You can type in a message that just a question there that I can read. So either way, we can handle questions either way. And I've got a couple questions so far, but I'd like to hear from Steve first, and he's still muted. So Steve, I'm not sure how to help you out here. There's a little mute blue button in the corner of your little face screen where you can see your own face. There you go.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, got you.
Okay.
So what I'm just asking everyone to all the candidates to introduce themselves and give a little 1.5-2 minute whatever you want to say about your candidacy.
Okay. Name is Steve Johnson. We've lived here in Boulder probably about 8 years or a little more. We live up in North Boulder. We've had just an incredible experience here with the place and the people, and I can certainly understand why there are more people that want to be here. I feel like we've received a lot from the people and the town of Boulder, and it's time to give back. And I'd like, having just retired about a year ago, I'd like that opportunity to serve the people here and to help people get the things that they want, to maintain the values that are here. Gosh, in a nutshell, that's it, Peg.
Okay. We'll get to people's questions, and then you get to fill in more information about yourself.
Okay.
Let me just enter this one new person coming in, and let me get started with the first question that came in on chat. This is from Tom and Caroline Hoyt, and they're asking, what would you do to address the lack of affordable housing? And I'm assuming that this, unless you wanted a specific person or specific either mayor or council members to answer a question, I'm gonna put this out to the whole entire 6-person crew here. So what would you do to address the lack of affordable housing? And we'll start with Jimmy and Judy, mayor candidates.
So I think one of the problems with Boulder and this housing is we don't have enough housing as it is, period. And if we, I don't know, it's not an easy answer on how to correct it. you got a 5-acre minimum that you can break down into different areas or different ways to subdivide it, but that's only if the person that's willing to actually own the property wants to subdivide it down into your different cluster housing, different things like that. One of the ways, I think, with Ray Gardner putting in a whole his RV park, I think that's going to solve a lot of our problems for our short-term housing. As long-term housing, I'm not sure. As a council, I'd have to look and see exactly what we could actually do. I mean, according to the general plan, when you're going through, we're trying to stay an agricultural town, which would be nice to stay, but at the same time, you see it going left and right where everybody's selling off their house because it's too hard to do business here. So for the housing, I don't know. It's hard. It takes the whole entire council and the town to come up with some different views of it.
Hey, Judy, do you want to take a stab?
Yeah, I really do believe it's something that that really needs to be addressed. And it really is going to take the town. We're going to have to figure this thing out. The price of real estate, for one thing, is so high right now. Everywhere, it makes the affordable side of it really tough. And I understand from a couple of people that they thought they had a lot of this taken care of at one time, and because somebody had volunteered to take their real estate prices down a little bit, but in the end it didn't work out. There are communities doing it and there's plans, and I really believe if we, the majority of us, want this, we can put our heads together and figure it out. But it really is going to take more than just one of us. But I do believe, and I like Ray's plan also. I'm hoping that that will help out. I don't know exactly. I mean, we've seen his plan and what he plans on doing, and it looks really good. But some towns, you know, they have built places, duplexes, fourplexes, and rent them out. I don't know if that's even an option. It's just the things that we're just going to have to look into and see what works for Boulder without changing our face, you know, because this is an agriculture and ranching area. I love it the way that it is. And yet Cookie made a statement one time, and she said, are we just going to come here and die, and this town isn't going to grow with young people? And you know, you give that a lot of thought, and it's really true. So I don't think it's impossible. I just think it is really going to take a good plan and people to reach out and to other communities to see what's worked for them. I don't know the answer, but I do know there is an answer.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. I want to go basically the same question to the town council candidates, but I'd like to hone it in a little bit. There are a couple questions related to housing. And I'm just curious, on the context of housing, what role do you feel the town can play in addressing this challenge? And we can start with whoever would like to start. Anyone?
Okay, I'll take a first stab at it.
Okay.
The town ordinances, the zoning ordinance, the subdivision ordinance, They're the council's business. That's what we've got. That's the tool, the main tool we have to deal with it. I think there are a lot of specific ideas. I don't know how the community is going to respond to them. That's the listening and working as a team. But certainly auxiliary dwelling units, encouraging those, allowing duplexes. I've had a good conversation with Gladys the other day, and it's amazing how much we really see a lot eye to eye on a lot of these issues. That a house that's got two adults and six kids, or a house that's got four adults and two kids, doesn't look any different, but one provides housing for two families. So duplexes could be something we could be considering. We could probably figure out ways to make apartments, not big apartment complexes like you see in the suburbs, but house-like buildings that provide rental are constructed to provide rentals. There are a lot of subsidy programs for a sort of affordable housing that we can be pursuing. I think that one of the other ones we can do is reconsider the 5-acre lots, as people often describe it. It's too big to garden, but too small to ranch. And maybe in place of 5-acre lots, we cluster the housing on smaller lots and preserve the open space as working agriculture. So there are a lot of specific things we can do. And what the town council could do is listen to people and then amend ordinances as needed to encourage the things that we want to have happen.
Thank you, John. Steve, would you like to join
in? You bet. I think John had a great answer, a great response. We need to learn. There are hoops to jump through. There are rules to follow. We need to become knowledgeable of those things. We need to help identify resources to enable people to financially get into a home. I'm not sure whether the demand is greater for temporary or permanent housing, but I think the more knowledgeable we can be and move forward cautiously, because we don't want to get far enough along that somebody builds a home and then finds out they've got issues with it, with the septic or with water. But I think we need to move forward purposefully but very cautiously and make sure that we're addressing all the issues before people make a financial commitment.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Andy?
Yeah, hi. This is my number one concern and the reason I care to be involved with this council thing. And I have an idea that I think has some legs and could work, and I'm fairly ignorant to the processes, so don't laugh me out of the room here if it doesn't. Right. But I feel like there's an issue in Boulder specifically where we've got so many second homeowners here. This is a problem in Boulder. It's a problem everywhere in the West, and it's a problem in these nice, beautiful, scenic places. The pandemic, easy for people to work from locations, and so you've got a lot of people that own property that are here 100 days out of the year or less, and that ties up a lot of this land that might otherwise be purchased by people who are here full time. And that's with much respect to our friends and our neighbors who are those second homeowners. We've got to have plenty of room for the people who want to be here working and living in this community full time and keeping it the way that it is as far as a working community. And I think that there is a possibility to, like it's been said by Jimmy and by John, I mean, the 5-acre thing is really weighing on people right now with that out of reach price-wise for a lot of people. Can we as a town find a way for people who are not going to be primary residents of this town to buy in with these 5-acre minimums and either be taxed a separate portion of their property taxes as a secondary homeowner, that money going into a general fund that can be used by the town to set up a trust, which can buy land, whether it's 5-acre lots that are broken into smaller lots. Can those people buying 5-acre lots donate quarter acre, half acre, an acre of their lot and avoid that tax? Can the town find means to buy land as it comes up and encourage folks selling to donate that into that land trust, as I refer to it, and find a way to have a second class property that's more true to a rural type of land value so that people can purchase and live here making $40,000 and $50,000 a year. I think that the town can support something like that. I think that homeowners can support something like that. And that the more people we get on the tax roll, the easier it is. Obviously, you don't drop that in somebody's lap that already owns property. We grandfather in people who are here. But can we get places like Black Boulder Mesa especially brought into the town's tax rolls and have conditions like that available for that when that land sells, if it's going to someone out of town, can they contribute to the town by making some land and some funds available to purchase land to be sold at affordable prices to qualifying candidates?
Thank you, Andy. You said a couple things that hit on an upcoming question, but I'd like to get Gladys's take on the housing situation and the town's role in addressing housing first.
Okay. First of all, I'm always somewhat confused. What do we mean by affordable housing? My next question is, Okay, what kind of jobs do we have in Boulder? What kind of jobs can we offer so people who can't afford to buy land and build a house? That's probably the number one reason, is because the jobs we have here do not pay enough money so you can afford to buy a property and build a house. Okay, next thing is perhaps we need to look at, okay, I think we're looking, we used raise RV park as a good example. Let's say anybody's RV park. Maybe that provides seasonal housing. Maybe also we need to look at the fact that maybe we need to allow employers to provide employee housing as part of the attraction for working at their establishment. I don't have the answers, but I would like to see it. I don't know that I want the town governing it. I'd like to have private individuals come with some proposals, and then the town looks at it and says, oh, this is ways we can help you. Okay, that's all.
Okay, thank you, Gladys. So question from Dan Pence. This is to everybody. So we'll start again with the mayors and work to the council. What is your position on Boulder Town annexing the Draw and Black Mesa? There are over 20 people in the Draw, maybe another dozen on Black Mesa, who have no voice in our community. I'd say it's more than that, but anyway, starting with the mayor candidates, what is your position on Boulder annexing the Draw and Black Mesa?
Sorry, Jim, go.
No, go ahead, lady first.
Coming out of Magna, the only thing that I really have been involved with in annexation, however, I have read up on it, but we, being an urban community, get upped our taxes. Now, this is entirely different, the rural area that we live in, but I really feel like it has to be investigated, and it's got to profit the town. The town has got to gain by annexing, and I don't know everything that that includes. I know this has been, I think, an issue before, but that's neither here nor there right now. If it came to the point to where it really did improve Boulder as a town, I'd be for it, but it's something that that we really have to check into and make sure that it does.
Hey, Jimmy?
You pretty much heard right out of my mouth. It, I was going to say, if it, we'd have to do a study on it to see if it would actually benefit.
I can't hear anything. So what's the point?
I'm back on. Can anybody else hear?
Yes, we can hear you.
I can hear you now.
We're all here now.
And now we're blank again.
We're missing our moderator.
We're missing all the video. I mean, sorry, not the video, the audio.
Debbie, can you hear anyone?
Every now and again.
Okay. I think people are slowly coming back on. It seems like, but we're still missing two of the candidates, and then both Peg and Michaela aren't back yet. And I don't know Michaela's role in this, or if it's just Peg hosting it. But I would say that once we have all the candidates back on, you all can keep going. So it looks like some people are in a waiting room because I'm getting texts, so they're trying to figure out how to get back in. But because the moderator, let's see who's become the host. It looks like Mark Nelson, you're now listed as the host, and so you have to be letting people in. It just randomly picked somebody, so you can either assign someone else as the host or you need to let other people back into the meeting. Mark, can you hear me? Okay, now Michaela's back in and is back to being the host, so I'm going to let her take over.
Peg, you're listed as Michaela.
I know. I just rejoined, and that's who I sign in as. So let me rename myself. Am I the only one who suffered a power blip right there? Or was that? It knocked me completely out.
No, we all did.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Okay. I'm surprised that we're semi-intact here. So trying to get everyone back on. You still in the waiting room. Jimmy, I'm going to have you start over because you were right in the middle of saying what you were saying about annexation when it went out. So are you on?
Yes, I'm here. I was saying that Judy pretty much took the words out of my mouth. We'd have to do a study on to see if it was that would be actually beneficial for the town of Boulder for it to be annexed in. It's not just an easy yes or no. I'd be for that or whatever. Like I said, do the study, figure it out, and we go from there.
Okay. Okay, moving to the town council, same question on annexation. Andy, you sort of touched on that when you mentioned Black Mesa, so why don't you start out? Oops, I can't hear your audio kind of in and out.
Is that any better?
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, like Jimmy said, it's not something you jump right into, but if it can be done, I feel like it should be done. There's a lot of real estate value up there, a lot. And out in the draw, you know, if rumors are true, there will be more property available soon. Why not have people buying into the real estate in that area, buying into town, buying into the community and paying their share? I think it's a great idea.
Okay, John, Brent?
Okay, well, I think, as everyone said, this is, annexation is a long process that you have to go through all the legal steps to do it, both for the town and for the annexed area. But, you know, off the top of my head, I think Andy's right. It would greatly add to our tax base. And we have to realize that these people who live in the draw and on the Mesa, they're already using town services, the library, they depend on the EMTs and fire just as much as people in town. If they have kids, they send them to the school, they use the town dump, but they're not paying taxes to the town for the municipal services that we in fact are providing to them. And the other thing I think would be wonderful about annexing those areas is that it would enlarge our pool of civically involved people, like our host tonight, who does so much for the town, but can't vote in the town because she's in the county. So I think it would be a great idea, and it's something we should really be looking at pursuing.
Okay. Steve, are you there? Yeah, Steve, can you unmute yourself? Steve Johnson, can you unmute and talk about annexation? Let's go to Gladys and while Steve.
Okay, I've got it. I think okay. I've got it.
Okay, you do.
I think great answer so far. Little to add other than I think we ought to also consider Salt Gulch as well as the other two areas that have been mentioned.
Okay, Gladys.
Okay, am I unmuted?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I'm not sure, but I thought it used to be that this required a vote. So it really isn't a town. Maybe I'm wrong. It isn't a town council decision. I would definitely say it needs a lot of looking into. So we make sure the advantages far outweigh the disadvantages to Boulder Town itself. That would be my big concern. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. You know what? That power blip knocked out everyone's chat questions. They just went away. So, if people want to re-enter their questions that they chatted in while I'm reading one that I made up myself early on, but go ahead and enter some more chat questions or enter the ones you wanted to ask. They just disappeared. So, okay, my question that I would ask for everybody is that the concepts of development and capacity are going to be huge topics for the Planning Commission and the Town Council over the next several months. Understanding that we're just beginning the conversation, what are your thoughts or ideas about Boulder's ability to meet its future development? Poorly worded question, but can we start with Judy? Development and capacity.
Yeah, well, I'm not copping out, but we definitely need the water situation that we talked about in the last planning meeting. We need to have that figured out before a lot of development does happen. It's going to run a little bit of money, but I think it, I really believe it needs to be done. And I think the majority of the town would probably agree with that. So as far as development goes, we've got to get the water issue and find out what we can do. I'm so glad that Lee brought that up and made it a valid point, because it really needs to be it. And I'm not trying to cop out. We really won't know till we find out where we can go with development.
Okay. Thank you. And Jim?
Well, for development for Boulder, it's going to be slow anyway, just for the fact that how Boulder is. As for the water, for culinary water, we have culinary water. We've already had a discussion with Colleen and Cookie before about the difference or the amount of water, culinary water that we actually have available. So we do have water available. That's not an issue for development or growth right now. But growth, like I said, I think the 5-acre minimum, that's going to stop a lot of your different growth. So more planning. We have to see what's going on with it. We'd have to actually see. You'd have to have the different land to actually do it. Somebody'd actually have to sell the land for you to be able to actually build on it. So.
Yeah, I'm on this phone call. I'm just listening, but I want to listen.
Okay. Okay, can we move to John Varant? Can you address that question about development and capacity?
Well, I think as part of a larger question, since I moved to Utah, the population of the state has about tripled. So, you know, every place, every community, huge, big cities, small towns have to face this question of a growing world population and where people live. Boulder's a wonderful place, and I think, you know, we shouldn't be excluding people who want to live here arbitrarily. But we have some very restrictive ordinances, the Hillside Protection Ordinance, and the current zoning ordinance that are give us tools to control unwanted growth. One thing I've heard from a lot of people is we don't want to be like Moab or Springdale, where you know, just the Highway 12 jammed with tourist cars all day long. But we have tools in place to control that. So I think we can, the growth is something we have to accept, but manage. So the key will be to manage the growth wisely.
Thank you. Andy?
I think those are all excellent points, and growth is happening and going to happen, it seems like. And who is growing, who is doing that growth, and for what purpose are the most important questions to me as a person looking at a future in this town. I certainly never want to see a chain hotel or a Subway in this town, and the town has done a lot. And I don't understand the ordinances fully, and I'm proud to be in a place where there are so many impediments to that kind of growth in place. The question I have is, how long can we hold out by just pure obstruction? How long can we say, no, we don't want that. There will be no change. I want it to be just like it was 20 years ago. If that works forever, great. But at some point, some algorithm is going to catch this town on its radar, and money's going to come, and real money, not millionaire money, billionaire money will come to this town. And billionaire money has big lawyers, and they'll steamroll or try to get past those ordinances. And can we get this land that is here in the hands of working people before that happens? That's a dream and a goal that I have for this town. And I think that anything we can do to that end, it would be positive.
Thanks, Andy. Gladys, I think we've missed you on this one, right?
Okay, that's a very interesting question, development and capacity. I wonder down in St. George, remember how many, to me it seems like it was a few years ago. There wasn't going to be enough water to develop anything else? Well, looks like to me they're still growing, aren't they? So I don't know if you can look at an area and say, hey, there's no water, because if money comes along, people find ways to develop it. I don't have the answer. There's some things I think you can try to legislate, but money comes along, and as Andy says, it people who have in the billions of dollars, they'll be able to find the water and do what they want.
Okay.
Say that's all.
Thanks, Gladys. Related to chat question from Dan, this is to Jimmy, actually. We live in a desert and water issues will only become more contentious. Jim, since your family has a monopoly on Boulder's water system, how will you guard against conflicts of interest regarding water issues?
So my family and the monopoly, I don't understand that question, because Boulder Farmstead's owned by all of Boulder, whoever owns it has a meter. They're an actual owner of the company. Me and my father, the two of the three people that are actually certified to run the system, if that is what you're including on it, then I don't know what else to say about that. But yes, we do have great water. We just barely re-drilled our well right behind the cemetery. Since we re-drilled it, and when we actually put the first one in, and it got cased in, our water level has only dropped 15 feet in the last 48 years in our water table. We're down 680 feet down to the very bottom of it for our water. Our pump is actually sitting in over 300 feet of water. So we do have water. And as far as a monopoly on it, if somebody wants to go drill a well, they can apply for a well. It's still a drill by basin. I mean, you can go do that. So there's no monopoly on the water system. So, and if anybody else has any questions for it, the water board's getting ready to have their meeting, I think tomorrow or the next day.
Okay, thank you. Hope that answered Dan's question. Donna has a question to everybody. And no, we haven't already really commented on this. How do you feel about allowing duplexes and/or fourplexes on a 5-acre lot, since it is a consolidated footprint? Back on the housing topic. Let me start with the town council people first. Let's see, Steve, do you want to say something about that?
I think that's, again, one of those issues that we need to investigate thoroughly to determine. Once you look at all the pros and cons, is this something that we really want? And if so, then I'm all for moving ahead, as long as it's feasible and it falls within the values of the homeowners already here.
Okay. Can I change this around a little bit, because I want you to address the question, but to a certain extent, you already have talked about this in options for housing a little bit. I think what all of you've touched on is the fact that it's going to take a certain amount of political will. The town people have to somehow get together and decide in some concerted manner what they want to do, and the town, or excuse me, the Planning Commission has been challenged more or less by our consultant, Lean Ellis, to get a community meeting together of some nature that will actually discuss things like development and capacity and density and different kinds of modes of housing and what people want to see and what they're willing to see. And I believe that there's no way everyone in Boulder is going to agree. I think we can probably agree on that one. But is there a way to find some consensus? And I've thrown a lot out there, but could you speak to all that, starting with Andy?
Great, yeah. That's an important question, an important issue. And I think that it's generally positive, with the caveat to say that what happens to duplexes and fourplexes and other multifamily housing units in most places is that they inevitably get bought up by property management companies, and they turn into nasty little ice that people are not, that are, they're paying more than they should for a place that's not up to the standards that people should be living in. And when people have no other choice, they're going to be more apt to live in those circumstances. And what a shame that would be to have this town that we're trying to protect, this beautiful family-oriented community vibe in, to turn into a place where the seasonal employees have substandard housing that they're paying too much in rent for. Big efforts would have to be put in order for me to feel comfortable with something like that, to make sure that those kind of rentals aren't commonplace.
Thank you. John?
I sympathize with Andy's concern, but unfortunately we are constrained by the U.S. Constitution and state law, and pretty much people can buy whatever property they want, and there's no way a town can prohibit it. What we can do is use our ordinances to encourage things we want to have happen and hope for the best that somebody doesn't subvert our intentions. With regard to fourplexes on a 5-acre lot, I think, you know, the municipal concerns are health, traffic, fire protection. Whether the building has four residences in it or one, it can look just the same from the outside and have essentially the same impact on the land. So if the Southwest Public Health approves a septic based on the fourplex, I think that's one of the biggest hurdles that somebody would have to go through, and it's easily managed under existing rules. I think it's something we should be allowing and actually encouraging, but along the same line, we should be encouraging creative ideas where you can put perhaps a fourplex on 15 or 20 acres and maintain and use up just a small part of the land and then preserve the rest as working agriculture. So that's the other thing that's very closely tied into the implications of the 5-acre zoning. If you go into Colorado, you can see a lot of areas where that ranchette, I'll call it, type zoning has just gone wild. And what used to be wonderful working ranches has now just become a maze of roads and houses on a grid. And I'm not sure that's what we want to see happen to the agricultural land here in Boulder. So that's my comment.
Thanks, John. Gladys, do you want to take that one?
Well, I think a lot of that, I have some concerns about that. I think a lot of it, in my case, would depends on what people want. If people came to me and said, hey, we think we need to do this, Gladys, not talking about the voters that I represent, I would kind of let my decision be influenced by what the majority vote says. While looking out for, as Mr. Grant pointed out, health, safety, and welfare, I assume that this would probably be a conditional use. And so I would say maybe the planning commission puts some conditions on it. So it, you know, I think, don't we have some conditions? You can't leave your 5 acres full of weeds and things like that. I think there's some ways we could put conditions on having that. I don't know. That's all I have.
Thanks, Gladys. Steve?
I thought that I had addressed this, but again, great points have been made. I like the idea of putting conditions on these things, but you know, John's point that we may be limited in how much the kinds of conditions we can put on property. So, I don't really have anything else to add than to what's been said.
Okay. That's the disadvantage of going last. I apologize. You can go first next time.
Oh, well, thank you.
Let me move on to a question from Jay Beal to everybody. Well, no, this is to the mayoral candidates. As a candidate, how do you see your role working with county and state governments on issues that directly and indirectly affect Boulder Town, i.e. future tourism? And That's directed to Judy and Jim. Judy, go ahead.
Well, I think it's important, definitely, that we work with the county and state governments. We are our own entity, but anything that affects us and being on the Planning Commission for the county, we see a lot of that with the other towns, and it works out really well. I think it's absolutely necessary. I think that especially when it comes to emergency services and this community wildfire preparedness plan, it is absolutely a necessity to work with them. So,
okay. As a mayor yourself, I mean, as a potential mayor, how would you see your role working with county or state?
Well, being involved in the being involved with like the five counties and economic development and with it, the community wildfire preparedness plan, we have to be involved and know what's going on. And it's a matter of staying connected, staying trained, staying observant to what's going on around us and what's going on in our county and our state. So,
okay.
Did that answer what you wanted me to do?
Yeah, I think so. I'm thinking he's asking pretty directly of, as a candidate, and Jim, this would go to you then, how do you see your role working with? I guess there's sort of an assumption that you would have to work with county and state. And so as the potential mayor, how would you see your role? How would you work with county and state?
I already have to work with the state already being water certified. I have no problem working with county and state. I do believe it's huge that we have to get along with them and to work with them. They're a huge help. So I see no problem whatsoever working with them.
Okay, great. This next question, I believe, is to everybody. And this is from Matt Cochran. Does your idea/vision of the future of Boulder align with the general plan? ? And if so, how? So let me start with Judy again on this one.
Sorry, Peg, I had a phone call interrupt me. Can you start with somebody else a minute?
Absolutely, yes. Jim, I'll let you take a breath here for a second, and I'll go to Steve.
Thank you. To me, the town plan is, that is the guidelines. It represents the collective feelings and values of the people. I think a big part of the town plan is that we remain an agricultural community. And this has been addressed by, I think, pretty much everyone, that people are in favor of keeping Boulder the way it is while still allowing growth in a controlled manner. But Matt, I hope that answers your question.
Okay. John?
Well, I agree with Steve. The general plan talks about things like agriculture, open space, home businesses. I think what we have to do is be sure that our ordinances aren't putting unnecessary roadblocks in the way of people who want to do things like setting up creative agricultural operations that can make a profit on the size of the parcel that they have. I think as I saw when we went through this discussion about the Goldman subdivision, that people are supportive of things like what Elena is proposing. What we need to do is make sure our ordinances are not making it necessarily difficult, because then we're saying one thing in the general plan as a vision, but in the implementation, we're often working at cross purposes with that. So I'd say, yes, I support the general plan. That's a living document that's periodically updated. It has been updated. We should be using it to guide us.
Thank you, John. Andy?
I couldn't agree with John more. I think he hit it right on the head. I think that the general plan of Boulder to stay a quiet, open place that's green and agricultural as much as possible is awesome. And it's a huge motivation to be here and bring people here who share those values. And I also question how well we're doing at that goal. A trip down Lower Boulder oftentimes asks, you know, how are we doing with our 5-acre lots? Are they open? Are they green? Are they in agriculture? And I think a lot of times the answer to those questions is going to be no. And can we do better to make those places more hospitable for the kind of people that the general plan draws and keeps in this place?
Thanks, Andy. Gladys, how about you?
Well, the general plan is a continually evolving thing. It changes because if I look back to, okay, what was the general plan, let's say 25 years ago or 20 years ago when it was first made, I think the vision of what I perceived then was, we definitely are not that, that things have changed. And we gradually have to keep changing along with the times. It's hard to tell what the future is going to bring. Some things we can control, some things we can't. There's a big question about keeping the agriculture in Boulder. Well, that's a nice dream, but it's kind of a dream. There's not too many of us left. And I'm looking for sprinkler changers. I'm getting kind of tired. So that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Gladys. I don't see any more chat questions. If anyone knows how to raise their hand and wants to ask a question, I'll give you a second to... Oh, wait, Jimmy, did I give you a chance to answer that one?
No, I did not answer it.
Okay, go ahead first. Sorry.
I totally agree with the general plan, kind of like our vision statement in the general plan, calling for ranching, small-scale agricultural, for Boulder, protect our open space, clean air, dark skies. It's all stuff that we have to keep track of in order for us to maintain what we want to see out of Boulder.
Okay, thanks. And Judy, I guess she was answering the phone before, so... Are you able to talk?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yes, I definitely agree with the general plan because it fits with why we moved here and who what this town is. I agree with Gladys, you know, we're going to have change and we're going to have growth, but it's just something we got to do our best to not really, I don't want to say control, but to plan around to where we can enjoy where we live right now. And know that there is going to be growth. No matter what, it just is part of life. And so hopefully that we can all put our heads together and figure this thing out together, stick with the general plan as best we can. And if we have to make some amendments to the ordinances to accomplish some of the things that we want to see happen, that we can come into agreement with that.
Okay. Thank you. Again, I'll give people a minute to think of another question. We are coming close to, I don't have a clock in front of me that works, but I'm gonna say we wanna be thinking about winding up because it takes a while to go through questions for everybody. But I'll ask a question of my own, and that is, as a person who works for the town, I've heard my fair share of people who complain about process, meaning specifically the process that goes through to get on the agenda or to fill out an application or dealing with the ordinances, but whatever process means. People complain about process. So my question is, what would you as an office holder, what would you do to address these types of complaints? And I'm going to start with the mayor candidates. Jim?
I guess it would have to depend on what processes you're talking about, because there's different stuff that takes longer to process. You can't just get a building permit and walk right out the door and be all hunky-dory. You have to actually, that takes process of it. You got to, so it just depends on what processes it are and what's going on with different areas of it. So
I guess I'm asking, would you be a tough boss to work for?
I don't know. Are you a tough person to work with?
Guess we can find out. Judy?
Well, I don't know if it's a process, if it's filling out forms, no matter what it is, we have to address that. It has to, I mean, you have to do it if there's ways to shortcut it. But in my experience, you pretty well have to jump through the hoops and do what it takes to get things done. And if that means filling out some paperwork and going through the process, most of the processes are put in place for a reason. And so I'm not advocating that we short circuit anything, because that, to me, that's what keeps your paperwork and everything together. I've done bookkeeping for our company for 13 years, and it was never a happy, happy thing, but it was a process. And I knew I had to follow through, and there were certain things to do to get from the beginning to the end. So that is my take on your process.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I guess that is kind of a hard question, because it's nebulous enough. What process am I talking about? It's kind of complaints about everything from the website to applications to how long it takes to go through planning. It's those kinds of complaints. And Andy, what do you think about this?
I think it is so important to remember as a citizen trying to get something done in Boulder that things are hard to get done in Boulder, period. And all of the people working for the town of Boulder, there are exceptions, but most of them are volunteers doing their best every day to make things smooth and functional in a really difficult place. And my personal opinion, I've had almost nothing but positive experiences going through those channels, the limited stuff that I've had to do over the course of my few years working in here and doing various projects. And what else can we do but remind each other that this is a hard place to do hard things in, and just be patient.
Thank you, Andy. How about you, John?
Okay, well, I think one of my old sayings that I always would complain, people will always complain. And one of my answers to complainers is, well, why don't you get involved and help us solve the problem? And often that they say, oh, I'm too busy. Well, that's inevitable. But I think we can do better. In dealing with the municipal government, most of the transactions, it should be that you fill out your form, you check off all the boxes, you document that you did what the rules required, and you get your permit. I've gotten building permits in Salt Lake City, and it takes me less than a day, start to finish. But one of the things that is different in Boulder, as Andy said, is that here we have a bunch of volunteers rather than full-time staff sitting in an office, where in Salt Lake, if you go in there with your form, the plan reviewer is sitting only a few feet away from the person who stamps the thing. The clerk who accepts the payment is across the hall. That's why the process is efficient. I think the biggest thing we could probably do as a small town is use our website much better to make it easy for people to find the forms, to know how to fill them out, to know who they should go to, what the deadlines are to submit the forms, and so forth. So that's probably the one constructive thing that is feasible to implement to minimize the complaints.
Thank you, John. Steve, do you have something?
Sure. You know, if there's a complaint, I think it's our, we need to listen with an open heart and an open mind. Whoever are in these positions need to remember that they're there to serve and not to rule. And a lot of times when there's opposition, we find new and better ways of doing things, of improving the process. So that's it.
Okay, thank you. How about you, Gladys?
Oh, personally, I thought we'd been doing very good. Great compared to what we used to do. And like you say, none of us are lawyers. We're trying to do the right thing, but we're also trying to look and make sure we don't make mistakes. I have never had any problems personally. I guess maybe we just need to say, Mr. Johnson said, maybe we need to be a little bit more willing to listen and say, okay, this is your problem. This is what we can do to help you. I don't know, but I thought we was doing okay. I've messed with some other people in other places, and I don't know that we're any worse than this. We just have to follow rules, whether we like it or not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did I catch everybody on that question? I think I did.
Hey, Peg, I got a question.
Yep.
Or a comment, actually. I got into the codified end of the on the computer, and they're doing an amazing job. When this gets done, it will be 101. I was able to maneuver around. We don't have everything in there, I grant you that, but what we do have in there, I was quite impressed with it. And I'm a 101 girl, the simpler the better. So I just wanted to make that comment and encourage people to get into the codified side of what's already in there, and hopefully the rest will be in there soon.
Great. Thank you, Judy. Yes, me too. I don't see any other, I don't see any other chat questions. So I don't want to string it out either beyond people's capacity to handle
it. Can I raise my hand?
Yeah. Can I raise my hand? This is Judith Guile speaking.
Oh, okay. I'm seeing a couple raised hands. So go ahead, Judith.
I'm speaking on behalf of the Boulder Wildfire Council. And I'd like to start by thanking all of the candidates for taking on the civic responsibility of running for public office. Thank you very much. I appreciate Judy Drain talking about cooperating with federal and state agencies. My interest, of course, is the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management. I am also interested in how our mayoral candidates and our council people will be willing to work on state and federal hazard mitigation plans. There are specific ones, but there's a lot of detail that needs to be faced, and we need some leadership and direction. Specifically, I'd like to address a question to our mayoral candidates, and that is, in the codified is a emergency operation plan. It's small, it's 4 pages, and it hasn't been updated since 2000. And there's some people that are no longer with us that are on that plan. But the point I want to make is the position of mayor is designated as the primary responsibility chain of command, and I'm reading, for all activated aspects of an emergency response, and that includes evacuation. And I would like to know how our two mayoral candidates feel about taking that leadership role and responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith. Jim, do you want to take that one first?
Sure. We do have to have the ELP for sure. It's definitely, I read the whole thing. It's guidelines that pretty much all towns are already doing this as we speak. I don't know. I know that we signed the ordinance 2021-6 for the urban interface code with Steve, but the emergency operation plan, I have no problem with it whatsoever. Everything I see in there is a great idea. So I have no problem following whatsoever.
Okay, Judy?
Hi. Yeah, I read through it also, and it's a good plan, and it really speaks to jumping immediately out there when you have taken the position of mayor and getting everything, getting up to date on everything. This last year, with everything that went on in California and the fires, and that were just whole towns gone, as everybody knows, it really, really gives you a feel for taking action in your own town and making sure that people are trained and that everybody's on board. And Judith, I am so glad you brought this to our attention. I knew somewhat of it, but when I really got reading that, I realized that we really do need to step up in some areas. And I'm speaking individually too around our house. So as mayor, that is one of the first things, and we definitely do need to update. I saw that also when you were talking about people no longer being on different positions. We've got to get that paperwork straightened out so we have all the phone numbers up. But I'm sure that both Jimmy and I are on board with that. I think it's very, very important. And the drier it gets around here, the scarier it gets. So we all need to make sure that that's what we're doing now. And really, I saw the roads. We do need to get more signs up. And I'll have to get with Michela and find out certain roads, because the fire that we had in Lower Boulder, that was a real concern. And Steve brought up another point also about somehow, and I don't even know if it's plausible, but getting irrigation water, finding something in Lower Boulder to be able to help out in areas like that, where they're kind of isolated and out of the way. But thank you, Judith, for bringing that up.
Judith, did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Judith Dyle?
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. Absolutely. We're looking for the commitment, and we understand that there are a lot of unanswered questions and situations, but I agree we can all work together and over the next couple of years put together a very efficient and effective and community protective plan. Thank you all for responding.
And Donna has her hand up. Donna Owen?
Hi, just because I had a comment in the chats and you didn't see it. So I'll just read it out real quick. If you don't mind, I have just one more question. When I saw Lee Nellis present the idea that we might want to, you know, really work on the 400 people somehow they came up with that could move here, he suggested a moratorium. So I would like to know how personally each candidate feels about having a moratorium while new rules and studies are done for slowing growth, since that had been suggested by Lee. Thank you.
Okay. That's for everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Let's start with the town council first. Gladys?
No, I'm not interested at this point of having a moratorium. I think sometimes moratoriums just put a scare in people, and then they really do, after the moratorium goes off, then we really do have problems. So at this point, no, I'm not interested in a moratorium. Maybe it's, you'd have to present a lot more reasons for it, for me to be in favor of it. Thank you.
Okay. Steve Johnson?
I think this is something that can be controlled without a moratorium. There are good ordinances and guidelines as long as they're followed, and as long as they're in line with the town plan. I would have to agree somewhat with Gladys, not be in favor of a moratorium where everything stops.
Okay, John.
Again, as a town, we are very constrained by state law. A moratorium under the state law is only allowed for a very short duration of time. I think maybe only six months. And it's a tool that you can use if you're afraid somebody has got a project in the works that's going to really be bad, and they're trying to slip it in ahead of getting an ordinance amended or changed. So it would be a last-ditch effort to use in case there was something really bad coming our way and we had no other way to stop it. But we can't put a moratorium on for years on end. It's got to be very finite in time, and we'd have to be working very aggressively to address whatever issues the moratorium was motivated by.
Okay. Andy?
I tend to agree completely with what's been said. I think that it's a pretty aggressive move, and to do it abruptly, I think would be counterproductive in the long run.
Okay. Did I catch everybody? Donna, did that answer your question?
Mayor candidates, please.
Oh, thank you.
All right, I'll speak up. I don't go at the moratorium either. I'm in agreement with John. I think there's ways we can get around it, and I'm not in agreement with it, period.
Okay, Jim?
I totally agree with that. We already have a huge book of ordinances that protect Boulder. We don't need a moratorium just to shut everything right down. I think that'd be silly of us even to.
Okay. So at this point, I don't see any other hands raised, and I don't see any other chats. So I'm going to assume that no one else has anything they want to pop up about. Are there any final comments any of you candidates want to make, or last minute thoughts that you've thought of and didn't get expressed that you'd like to put in at this point on anything?
Well, I would like to say that this has been good because we've all put our heads together, every one of us, even though we're answering questions. This is the kind of discussion we need to get done what we need to get done in this town. And I thoroughly have enjoyed the answers and the questions. I think it reflects a lot of where we are. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Anybody else have any parting comments or anything they'd like to say before we wind up?
Gladys just wants to say, as she always does, people need to tell me what they think and what they want. Otherwise, I have to go on my judgment, and I'm not guaranteeing you my judgment is always the best. So please feel free to talk to me.
Thank you, Gladys. Jim,
I was just going to say, thanks everybody for this opportunity to do this. And if you guys want to see some stuff done, you got to start going to the meetings. So just want to say thank you.
And John?
I think this was a wonderful meeting. And what I heard is that we all love Boulder. And what I also heard is that whoever gets elected, everybody is going to work as a team. People are all really on the same page about the vision. It's down into the details. So I think it'll be very good no matter what the outcome.
All right.
This has been an awesome experience, and it needs to happen more often, as has been mentioned. But I have seen more, far, far more commonalities among all the candidates than I have differences. I think for the most part, we're on the same page. We want to move Boulder in a great direction. So thank you for this opportunity to participate.
All right.
Who was just talking?
Steve Johnson.
Anybody else? Andy, have you said everything you want to say?
Well, I agree with everybody else. It's a great group of folks, and no matter what happens, I think we're all in good shape. It's going to be an exciting couple of years here.
Yes, indeed. Okay, unless someone yells something out right now, I think we've hit an hour and a half. It's like just naturally, and seemed to have wound out of the questions, and we covered a fair amount of ground in that short time. So thank you all very much. Candidates, thank you for getting together and participating in this. And I wish we could have done it in person. I love those in-person things, but it wasn't to be this year, maybe another time. And someone just came in and we're just wrapping up. But anyway, thank you very much, candidates. And thank you all who came in to participate in this. And we'll hopefully see you at the next Planning Commission meeting and Town Council meetings, which I'm trying to do a good job of getting on Pegboard, so you also have it there. But I'll just put a plug in to anyone interested in any public meeting in the state of Utah. Go to the Utah Public Meeting Notice website and subscribe to county meetings, town meetings, legislative meetings, anything public. You can get pushed to your email notification and agenda of those meetings. So do that too, you know, make us do our part in notifying, but take care of some of the stuff where you can yourself, okay? And our Boulder Town website continues to grow and gets better and has more things on it. And Michelle and I would love to hear your comments about things that we can do to improve or that are needed to be included. Okay, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.